Christmas music is a staple on the radio and in shops this time of year.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
Singers croon about a winter wonderland or a red-nosed reindeer or jingle bells. And there are always some rather interesting covers of traditional carols and hymns. The traditional tunes of the holiday season had nothing to do with Christmas originally. Philip Brunel, the founder and artistic director of the choral music organization Vocal Essence, is at Minnesota Public Radio to explain. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Leanne. Nice to be with you.
Here's a basic question, Philip. What's the difference between a hymn and a carol?
A carol is really something that was originally thought of as kind of a circle dance that was often accompanied by singing. Whereas a hymn is something that's going to have more theological implications, and it's more likely to be in a kind of straightforward 4-4 movement, not something you're going to dance to.
So tell us a little bit then about the history of the Christmas hymn and this music when it started to be included in worship services.
Well, what happened was, of course, that in the medieval ages there were Gregorian chants that were sung. Gradually, actually about the time of the Reformation, is when we started seeing some changes. Of course, Martin Luther was very, very interested in getting people to be singing. And carols then were sung rather than singing Gregorian chant, but that was not true in England, where we get many of our carols from, because they were forbidden during that time. We think of Oliver Cromwell and all of those characters. They were forbidden to sing in church, so the carols stayed outside, but they stayed alive. That's the important thing.
And many of them were incorporated actually into the ritual. There are many Christian rituals, for example, that begin with, O come all ye faithful, Adeste Fidelis. What's the origin of this hymn?
Well, Adeste Fidelis was actually the words were, of course, in Latin originally by John Francis Wade, who was an English Roman Catholic. Then in the 1800s, a number of translators took those words, translated them into English. There's not really one person to have done those translations. And no one really knows who wrote the melody, but many people think that Wade himself also wrote that. And the original tune, whereas we would go dee dee do do dee do, originally had a different kind of meter. Dee dee do 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 do. So it was quite different than what we've now heard in our churches.
Hark the herald angels sing.
One of the great hymns that, of course, originally had zero to do with Christmas. The music by Felix Mendelssohn was composed for male chorus in 1840 to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Gutenberg's printing press. And after the ceremony was done, people said, oh, that's just a wonderful, wonderful tune, and it could be something else sacred. And he said, Mendelssohn said, it will never work with a sacred text. Well, how wrong he was, because 20 years later, the combination of Wesley's words and his music came together, and we got Hark the Herald. Every time you hear that spot do 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 dum dee do dee do 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 do. Those three notes right there are Gutenberg in the original. So you can either sing the Hark the Herald words or sing Gutenberg.
Humming little bits of these hymns and carols, I mean, we'll know which one you're talking about just from three notes. But there's a carol that is one of the, I think one of the earliest ones, called The Boar's Head.
The Boar's Head, it was a very kind of fanfare kind of carol. The boar's head in hand bear I, bedecked with bays and rosemary.
Rosemary.
That... Oh, yes. We had to rhyme it, you know.
Of course.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful story, because what they say is that in the 15th century, that there was a scholar at Queen's College, Oxford, who was walking to a little neighboring village where he was going to go to Mass. On the way, a wild boar attacked him, and so this scholar grabbed the boar, stuffed a volume of Aristotle that he was reading down the boar's throat. He then cut off the boar's head, carried it on his staff to the church, and after Mass was over, took it back to the college where they had dinner and ate it.
With the book still inside?
I suppose. They never talk about that, but I suspect it was. But I love the idea, and it's been kept up at Queen's College as a tradition ever since, to have a boar's head dinner, a big celebration, and they sing the boar's head carol, which is a combination. It's what we call a macaronic carol, because part of the words are in English and part are in another language, in this case, Latin.
Why do you think these songs endure?
One of the things about music that endures, and particularly music at Christmas time, you will find that you can remember melodies that are what we call stepwise. It's like going do, re, mi, fa, sol, and they're up and down the scale. So you take something like the First Noel. Do-do-do, do-do-do-do. It's very easy to sing. It's not difficult. Joy to the World. Do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. Very simple to sing. The ease is part of what it is. And then the other part is that they are telling a story. So something like Silent Night, even though it originally, of course, was German, Stille Nacht, the words that people know, Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright, very easy to remember. They have a nice little bit of poetry. Every once in a while, someone likes to try to change the words, and it never works. People go right back to what is the traditional.
When did popular music start to come into the mix of the traditional hymns and carols of the season?
All of that really began in the 1940s. There were a few before. Rudolph was written as a song for advertising for Montgomery Wards. And Gene Autry, of course, made it famous.
The most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, had a very shiny nose.
And of course, for every popular Christmas song that we know, there are about, I'm going to say, 100 that never made it. I mean, no one anymore sings the fruitcake that ate New Jersey.
This innocent Christmas in season is all the more reason to watch out, or else you might meet the fruitcake that ate New Jersey. Never shows any mercy.
I think we'll stick with O Holy Night.
I would agree. Totally.
Choral scholar Philip Brunel is the founder and artistic director of Vocal Essence. He joined us from Minnesota Public Radio. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
And to you too, Leanne. Thank you.
A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Joy to all of you. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Night, when Christ was born.